All right, welcome to This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer here with my best friend Kyle Dobas. This is season one, episode 20. Today is Monday, April 14th. We're going to talk about the recently actions that happened in Augusta, the good old Masters. It was a great week to put in our week in review, especially down there in Augusta. Could talk a little bit about that with our entertainment because we did a little bit of a pick'em. I didn't do so well. Kyle did great. Just to kind of lean in there.
I destroyed it.
And then we're gonna go into
my only one that didn't. But go ahead, yeah. Finish your thoughts first.
But we'll go into the upcoming week like we always do, and then get into some fantasy focus. But for the fantasy focus, we're going to talk a little bit of playoff hockey for NHL. The NHL playoffs are around the corner.
They are around the corner here. No, I did pretty good on my my Masters picks. I think the only one I didn't make the cut was my favorite golfer, just for fun, that I picked.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, we'll just dive right into that before we get into really our week review, because I really wanted to do this part first with the Masters. I went -9 with my top three guys. Kyle goes -19 with his top three guys scoring. Geez.
Nailed it.
So I got Bryson DeChambeau, -7, Xander Schauffele, -5, and then Matt Fitzpatrick at 3 over to make it a total of -9. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Taking the champ.
Well, you know what's sad? Kyle, really, you're -25 because you got Scheffler at 8 under, McIlroy at 11 under, and then Oberg at 6 under. So really, you're 25 under. For your top three.
You know what's sad, though? You
froze.
We froze already.
Already.
Already froze. Just started.
It's okay.
No, I was saying that, you know, you had your shot at taking Rory. He was my second pick.
Yeah, I know, but I want to take Bryson. Like, I was between him and Rory, really. I just had a better feeling about Bryson than Rory just because of Rory's history. And I didn't think that this would have been his year, but it was. It seems like it was Rory's year. So,
yep.
And at the end of the day, I probably should have taken Rose, too. Like, Rose is out there for the taking. He's in our ending up in our honorable mentions alongside of Patrick Reed and Sungjae Im. And honestly, I was between Sungjae Im and taking Tom Kim. And Tom Kim shoots a 9 over. He makes the cut, but still shoots a 9 over. To where the guys who missed the cut, my highest is an 8 over, which is Will Zalatoris. So,
Oh Will.
So yeah.
Oh, well.
Tom Kim. I had three guys missing the cut with Brooks, Will, and Phil. Ig. And then Shane was actually playing really well. Shane Lowry was playing pretty good golf all the way up until that last day. He was, three or four under. And then he just fell apart that last day to score a total of 4 over for the whole tournament. And I'm just kind of like, ouch. Ouch.
All of my golfers shot under, minus Adam Scott.
Which, that's a good thing. Yeah. Props to you.
Good old Rory pick. Give me some Scheffler action. And then Åberg. I picked Åberg with, like, my fifth pick.
Yep.
The Swede coming in big for me. Honorable mention of Justin Rose and Patrick Reed.
Yep. Got to get some honorable mentions in there, guys that we didn't pick. I mean, Patrick Reed playing lights out the whole freaking 4 days. And being in first place once the cut is made and then pretty much staying there almost throughout the whole third and fourth round. Like, yeah, it was a roller coaster watching him, and finally getting into the playoff with Rory McIlroy is just definitely worth.
You gotta
giving him an honorable mention.
Got a feel for Justin Rose. It's back now. It's twice that he's lost at the Masters on a playoff hole.
Yeah. But back to it. Back into the week in review we go. Oh, it's good to win, Kyle. It's good to win. Florida beats Houston 65-63. Number one game of the week right there for sure.
He's done it.
They've done it.
He's done it.
Put a championship in my belt.
He gets his merch.
I'm getting my merch soon, hopefully.
Gets his money, his merch. Merch and money.
Well, I get paid no matter what, but yeah. I don't get any extra money. I should, but
They should give you more NIL money.
More NIL money. Give you a pay raise for winning a championship game. Should be like a time and a half pay.
Alex is gonna request more money now, or he's moving on. I want more NIL money, or else I'm out of here.
The player of the game is going to Will Richard. 18 points and 8 rebounds, almost a double-double. He pretty much picks up the slack of Walter Clayton not having the greatest game. But they were just on top of Walter the whole game. He was unable to get a good three off. Like, most of his three shots that he was shooting were completely defended by either two guys or one guy was just, like, all over him. So he didn't really have an open three until probably the last 2 minutes, 3 minutes to where they had that little bit of a comeback from 12 down. And so, yeah, I got to give props to Will Richard of holding it down, getting the points and doing everything that they needed to help them win.
Yeah. No, it's a good call. Good call. Cause that was my number one along with yours. And that was my player of the game for that one as well. There's not much else you can say about it.
No,
that sucks that Houston couldn't even get a damn shot off, like, to end the game, at least make it interesting to see what happens. But
that's been my talk this whole week. It's like, that's the one weirdest way to end the game is you're going up for a shot and then you want to avoid the up and down, but you have to spike the ball and then you can't touch the ball because then it would be a double dribble. Like, you're just shooting yourself in the foot no matter what. Like, at the end of the day, do like just throw it off the player,
man.
Like, I know you have no control of where the ball is going, but at least you're giving yourself a chance of getting the ball back if you throw it off the opponent player.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, if you're going up for the shot and you're seeing him right there, don't spike it. Just throw it into him. Just throw it into him and go for wherever. Because, like, if you throw it into him the right way and you have good cat-like reflexes like any other basketball player should or any other athlete should, you should be able to get that ball back. Like, almost right then and there. Like, you should throw it, like, at, like, just find the spot, throw it there, and then that way you're just like, oh, my ball again. Shoot. Or whatever you need to do.
I think we, Florida got a little lucky because all he had to do was pump fake on his shot, and you had Clayton come flying in, too, so he could have easily gotten a draw foul there if he just pump faked instead of tried to shoot right away. But yeah, it'd have been cool if he actually, like, at least got a shot off to start or to end the game. But good for Florida. They pull off the victory.
Yep, they pulled it off. But yeah, like I said, I went 1 for 5, so that's my only one.
Let's see. I think I gave myself one. I gave myself the Masters because I cheated. I said the Masters in general, like always.
Oh, that counts. 2 for 5. Yeah.
What
I want to hear, Kyle, is not the final grouping. I want to hear the best grouping out of the Masters. Like I said last week, I want to hear who was the best grouping out of all these groups, like all 4 days.
I mean, honestly, the last day with Bryson and Rory was a fun group to follow because it was basically they're all in it the whole time. So, because groupings change as you go.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, groupings change as you go. So, I mean, honestly, it was always going to be waiting to the last round to see who's going to be tight with each other. So, I like the Bryson and Rory. matchup. I would have liked it more if Bryson would have kept it close, especially in the last day, because it would have been cooler golf. But yeah, it was the two guys I really wanted to watch to begin the tournament anyway, so I was glad they were paired together.
Yeah. Well, I like the Patrick Reed, Corey Connors matchup. Like, I really like that pairing because, yeah, like, obviously they made a good run at it. They weren't, like, anywhere close to beating Rory or tying Rory, but they got themselves within a fighting chance, and they seemed to be playing against each other in that group to where it was, like, a challenging group just between the two of them. Like, they were, like, back and forth against each other. And that's what I want to see in a group. When I watch golf, I want to see a good group that's always, like, you know, they're trying to score under each other, or, you know, they're hyping each other up to be like, yeah, you're going to get this. Or, like, they're a little bit of trash talk there, too. Because that's what happened in that group.
What they should do for future Masters is be like, take one grouping for the first 2 days and just put, like, John Daly, Phil Mickelson, and, like, Fred Couples, like, just a bunch of old guys together, but, like, with John Daly, and then let them just, all the cameras are on them just having fun the whole time. They get a lot of views for that kind of play if John Daly was in there.
Oh, yeah, they would. Yeah, that's why John Daly goes down there and just posts up at the Hooters and just signs merch all day. That's all he does now. He doesn't even play anymore. He just
and let him.
he just goes down to the Hooters Augusta and just signs merchandise, just signs Masters stuff.
Let him play. Let him play in the Masters, but let him play like where he gets to play barefoot and smokes and drinks while he's on the course. Everyone would watch that.
Everybody would tune in.
Besides the Masters, yeah, I took Florida Houston. I took that as a win. I took the Masters as a win. And then I had I finished about 4-for-1 because I actually said the Tigers Yankee series was a win because it was a pretty good series.
Yes, it was a very good series. You guys took it
early, but it was a good, it was still fairly close every game. So I gave that myself that one. And then the Toronto versus Montreal game was a hit because Toronto won 1-0 in overtime. But and also that was a game that eliminated the Red Wings.
Yeah, that was a no bueno. With my four other games that were misses, obviously I had Lightning Rangers game. I picked the Lightning to win and they won 5-1. Canadians Red Wings.
That's not a good one.
I picked the Red Wings. Canadians won 4-1. And then Blue Jackets Senators.
Down we go.
Yep, down we go again. Columbus, I picked the Columbus Blue Jackets to win, and they win 5-2. And I just had a check on both these games just to make sure it wasn't like a 3-2 game and both games were off of like empty net goals. No, these games were out of hand already. Yeah. Senators turning it around and winning 5-2 against the Canadians. And I picked the Senators to win. But same thing, like this game was just out of hand already. These extra goals were not empty net goals. Like sometimes I gotta check that to see if it can be a game of the week, because you know it could be 3-2 and then they get two goals off of empty netters and then it just makes it 5-2. But nope, that did not happen in either of these games.
Yeah, no, it did not. I got lucky with mine. So like, yeah, like I said, the hits that I had, I still had the Tigers Yankees. The only one that I didn't have on my top five that hit that I added as a top five game, I put the Flyers beating the Islanders 4-3 in a shootout with Forster getting two goals on that one. But no, like with the Tigers Yankees series, I have Tigers pitching staff basically as my players of the game, not just one player because it was a whole series. And they kept the Yankees in a 3-game series to 6 runs, which is pretty good. So they only averaged 2 runs a game. They made the Yankees average 2 runs a game, and they shut them out 1 game.
Well, thank you
for reminding me. So give it to the Tigers pitching staff. Yeah, give it to the Tigers pitching staff. And then, yeah, Toronto 1-0 in overtime with their goalie. It was a backup goalie because they're resting their players. Stolarz getting a shutout. And then my honorable mention, I had Caps beating the Hurricanes 5-4 in overtime with Tom Wilson getting the game winner.
Nice. Very nice. Because I was going to do that. I totally forgot about that, Kyle. So, in my actual top five, let me get you over here. That way I can do this properly. So the other four games that actually end up in the actual top five, Flyers Rangers going 8-5, Kyle. Flyers beating the Rangers 8-5.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
That is was just a game for the ages, especially for the Flyers to upset the Rangers. I mean, they sweep the New York series, being both the Rangers and the Islanders with that win. The player of the game goes to Tyson Forrester. He gets a hat trick, scores his first in the second period, and then scores two in the third. Man, that kid's lights out.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he was my player of the game in the game, in a different game that we had with the Flyers.
Yeah, so
two goals in that one.
He gets player of the game, and then game number three, Kyle. Western Michigan, Denver Pioneers, 3-2, overtimes.
I don't know.
Some men's college.
I don't know how I didn't
here.
Put that in my top five. I don't know how I didn't put that in my top
I
five.
I saw that
I
and I was like,
forgot about it, honestly.
I have to talk about this. Like, this game was awesome. Like, I was watching this alongside of working the baseball game. I was working Friday night, and I was just so far into it, more than the baseball game I was working. it was a game to watch, man. It just had me on the edge of my seat the whole way through. Player of the game, I'm giving it to Matt Davis, the Denver's goalie. 44 saves, Kyle, for this kid.
Yeah, he had a good game. Just couldn't pull it out.
His team just couldn't pull it off, unfortunately. But I do have to give a little bit of shout out to Owen Michaels getting two goals in the game winner, because he's getting the game of player of the game in my honorable mention, which is the championship game between Western Michigan and Boston. Western Michigan winning their very first NCAA college hockey championship in program history, winning 6-2 over Boston. Owen Michaels gets player of the game for this one. For sure, getting two goals. So, he gets a little bit of a shout out there in the semifinals, and then he actually gets the player of the game in the championship.
Yeah, no, that semifinal game, I kind of wish it was just the national championship game. That would have been a crazy way to end the college hockey playoffs in a double overtime winner, but it was just for them to advance. But yeah, it was a crazy game. There's nothing else. I mean, you kind of nailed it on the head on that one with double overtime win to go to the finals, going to the finals and kind of just beating them pretty good. That wasn't really the closest game when they played them in the championship, so it was good for Western Michigan getting their first national championship.
Yeah, and then so coming in at 4 and 5, you can kind of call me a homer for these. Coming in at 4, Tigers Twins going 7-6. Player of the game goes to Zach McKinstry, getting one hit and two RBIs. And then Yankees-Tigers going 4-3. Yankees beating the Tigers in the third game of that series. Player of the game goes to
Max Fried.
Aaron Judge getting two hits and two RBIs in that game.
Dang. How do you not choose Max Fried on that one? Because he was good that game.
He was really good, but I'm just giving it to Aaron.
He shut you guys down that game.
He did. But not completely. We scored three. We still scored three.
He did, but only one against him.
Yeah, I know.
He was 7 innings, 1 earned run, and 11 strikeouts.
But another week, another dollar for me. Picked upset of the week, hits again. We won the series.
Yeah, yep, you did. You did get the Yankees or the Tigers winning the series.
Yep. And so
I didn't hit my upset. I forgot what my upset was.
So game one, Tigers winning 6-2. Player of the game going to Ibanez, getting one hit and three RBIs in just one hit. Like, that is almost a home run in my mind. And then Tigers winning 5-0. Player of the game goes to McKinstry again, getting two hits and two RBIs in that game.
Man, you really hate the pitchers, don't you?
I don't do pitchers. I'm sorry.
How do you not give player of the game to Skubal? 6 innings, 4 hits, no earned runs, 6 strikeouts against the Yankees.
That's easier to give to a hitter.
Show some love to some pitch. Not against the Yankees. to shut out the Yankees? That's crazy.
That's just crazy talk. And then even game one, does he do that?
Casey Mize pitches the best game of like his career.
I was just looking at the box score and trying to do it quick because you reminded me that I had to do that when we were talking about box
scores. Oh, that's why, because you're... Then you go, yeah. Andy Ibañez only gets one hit, but he gets three runs. It's like he hit a home run. Well, he did hit a home run.
Well, he did home run.
It was a home run.
It was a home run.
It's like, dang, what was it? A home run or something?
Dang, was it a home run or something? Yes, it was. Yes, it was, Alex. Yeah. It was a home run.
It's like, yeah, it was
good
a home run.
Good job.
Yeah, he did hit a three-run homer. You got it. You nailed it. Who's your player of the game for the third game?
It was
Judge. I already said that. It was Judge. You already said Judge.
Yeah. Because I put the third game in our actual top five. Like, I feel like that could sit there in the top.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's how, like, the rest of this baseball season would go. Like, if we kept going, it's just like, I got to talk about just the one game that actually went close and then just talk about the series, like, eventually. Because, like, that's the thing with the Minnesota and Tigers. Like, that one game went 7-6. But Tigers, I think they did the same thing. They won the series 2-1, right? And
yeah, that's the only reason why I didn't want to, like,
because
whenever
won
I'm picking
six,
top five, and then whenever I'm picking top five games, nothing. I'm just gonna be doing series,
and then they lose 5-1.
Yeah, so I be picking games in the future, it's like I'm picking the series in baseball. I didn't have to get into it on this one as much just because you also had the Tigers Yankees, so you kind of covered it. So that's as easy for me to just go, yeah, but he's got it.
He's got it.
But
he's
no,
just
like,
not picking pitchers.
I'm talking about like.
He's got it. He's not picking pitchers. He's just going to pick the batters for his player of the game.
just no pitchers. Yeah, he won't talk about the pitchers. So. No, so like in the future, like when you hear me taking like a baseball one, I'm taking a series, not the game, because I like baseball's hard to do just one game, because you might be facing one ace one game, one ace the other game, so it's not fair just to pick one game.
It's not the playoffs where you're gonna get the aces right off the bat or opening day.
Yep. So
anymore,
you kind of want to make it even. Let's take a series with it. If they're actually playing the full series within this week, so
yep.
But yeah. I don't even remember what my upset of the week was last week. I can't remember. But my upset of the week this week was the Giants taking 2-1 series over the Yankees. So the Yankees went into Detroit, lost to Detroit the series, and then they lost to the Giants.
I actually remember
2-1 series
upset was.
What was it?
I can't Red Wings sweeping the Florida series.
Hey, I was pretty close.
You're close. They beat the Lightning, but they
did. And then
the
they
Panthers.
Lost last night, didn't they?
they did not beat the Panthers.
Yeah, they lost 4-1. I was close.
So close.
That's right. It was that, wasn't it? But no, yeah, my upset actually just happened this week. Was Giants taking a 2-1 series over the Yankees. It's kind of big because Yankees are right there in first and second place, and Giants are projected to be like last in their side. So. That was an upset series win for the Giants. I could have taken the Tigers, but Tigers are kind of projected to finish in the top of their division. So I feel like the Giants beating the Yankees in the series is a little bit more of an upset.
Yeah, that's definitely an upset for sure.
Yeah, and then my gut reaction was just great Masters weekend, another great Masters.
Just a great
great Masters, and
just you know,
and buckle up, it's time for the best playoffs in sports.
I mean, like just. Gotta give it one last little run there.
Until next year. Until next year.
Until next year.
And now we begin the greatest postseason in sports.
Well, before we get to that, I kind of want to review the upcoming week before we get to picking our brackets here.
No, you're good. I was just gonna say that was my gut reaction still.
Oh, I got you. I thought we were gonna jump ahead a little bit.
Oh, no, I wasn't just jumping right. No. No, so, I mean we kind of already did because we did the Masters first this time, and then so yeah. We still got the upcoming week first.
Upcoming week, my top five games to watch. All right, here we go. I've got the Blue Jackets at the Flyers tomorrow. I really want to watch this game. I know the Flyers are completely out of it, but with them beating both the New York Rangers and the New York Islanders, the Blue Jackets have to look out because they really have to win out to get themselves into that playoff position over the Montreal Canadiens. So, and for them, the Canadiens are facing the Hurricanes the day after. So this is also on my top five. So those are two games to watch right off the bat.
Yep.
A third game, which is another, you know, playoff potential game, is the Golden Knights at the Calgary Flames. The Flames have to basically win out to get in. And you don't think...
Well, they got to win out and have the other teams lose.
Yeah, like literally, they just got to control...
The Blues to lose.
At the end of the day, they just need to control their own destiny and win out themselves and give themselves the best chance.
Yeah.
Like, from the Flames' perspective. And then coming in at four is Islanders at Blue Jackets. So you got another, you know, Blue Jackets possible fall or win. Like I said, they got to win out. And then Flames at Kings, another game that's got playoff potential for the Flames. So those are all... my top five games. They're all games that have a playoff, like, you know, grab to it.
Yeah. So you just, you're going all into the, I mean, yeah, they kind of, playoffs are almost kind of secured at this point now.
They almost are, but I feel like these five games, if they turn out the way that I'm predicting them, it will change the whole spectrum of things. So the, like, with my gut predictions is like, with my gut predictions with this would be Columbus over the Flyers, Flames over the Knights, Canes over the Habs, Columbus over the Islanders, and then Flames over the Kings. So Columbus wins twice, Flames win twice, and then the Canes beat the Habs. Is like, that would change the whole spectrum of the playoff picture.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm just going with mine. I have a few baseball ones, and then since the playoffs are kind of set for a few teams, I've already just – and they start this weekend. So
yeah,
I'm going ahead and pick in two of those games. So my first one, I've got Atlanta versus Toronto in baseball series. Atlanta's need a rebound, so I think it should be a good series, and Toronto just overtook first place. So we should have a really good series with these two teams. I'm taking Atlanta to take this series in Toronto. I think Atlanta's got to start getting hot here soon if they want to at least stay in this. I mean, I know it's way early in baseball, but no team's ever started, I think it was what they said, like 0-7 and made the playoffs. So they have a chance to make history here, so they just got to get started. My next game will be the Cleveland and Baltimore series. Cleveland is right there with Tigers in first/second place in that division. And you got Baltimore that's right there in the East with Yankees and Toronto. So it should be a good series. I'm taking Baltimore in this one. I think Baltimore's starting to get hot, so I think they'll take this series. And then one more thing of baseball, I got the Angels playing the Rangers. I'm taking that series because it's basically the battle of first place right there with those two teams. So you have three really good baseball series coming up this week that should be three, four good games out of each one. And then getting into hockey, I took the Rangers in this one for my gut prediction on that. And then my last two are hockey matchups. I've got, to me, the opening round series to watch, the number one series will be Colorado versus Dallas. I think those are two arguably the best two teams in the West, and it sucks they have to play each other right off the bat. But, yeah, I have Colorado-Dallas. That game's going to be – that series will just be a really fun series to watch. I'm thinking Colorado, at least in the first game.
Okay.
And then the other series on the east side, which should be also really good. This one could change a little bit. This series might not be what it is. It really just depends on who wins because Tampa could overtake Toronto for first place in the east. But they'd have to win out. Toronto would have to lose out. So I'm just going to assume Tampa's where they're at, and their first matchup would be against Florida. So you guys, you got the Florida matchups right there. The two Florida teams will be playing each other in the first round. And I'm going to take Tampa for the first game since they're playing at home.
I like that.
I would prefer that.
I think everybody would. I prefer that one to be a series.
Yeah, it'd be a good one. And yeah, I'm going to take Tampa for my first game upset. Well, not upset, but first game win. And in my upset of the week, I'm taking the Minnesota Twins to take the series over the New York Mets this week.
Nice. My upset of the week is going to be Red Wings over the Maple Leafs for the final game. I'm done with them. In the season on a win. We're done, but in the season on a win.
Why win? Why win at this point? Just lose.
Just do it. Just win. Just
bump,
win.
Bump your picks back up. Get better picks now at this point. Stop winning. You had your chance to win. You chose not. Yeah. You had your chance to win. You chose not to win. So start losing.
All right. Here we go. All right. So with the playoff picture.
It's time for some playoffs. Yeah.
Time for some playoffs. With the playoff picture as it is, we are going to pick the NHL playoffs.
Yep. Could be some moving pieces in there. Could be some moving pieces. The one that's set for sure is the Capitals, Carolina, and New Jersey in the East. That three is not changing. So those three are stuck in their spot.
Yep.
There's no way any of them can jump each other. So the only thing that could change is Washington could play either Columbus or Montreal. But right now, and more than likely, they're going to be playing Montreal. So that one's kind of set. And then on the Eastern Atlantic, the only thing that could really change is Tampa could jump Toronto, but they would have to win out, and Toronto would have to lose out.
So the Red Wings win. So Red Wings need to beat the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
help Tampa Bay out.
Again, I don't think it's happening, so we'll just say as is, the Eastern's kind of locked. Because even if Florida jumps Tampa and they flip-flop, they're literally just playing each other still, so that doesn't matter. And then on the west side, your west central is locked. There's really nothing going to change in that one. Winnipeg's already clinched the conference. And then on the western Pacific, also locked. The only thing that could really change is Edmonton and LA flip-flopping each other, but don't matter. They'd be playing each other.
The only thing that's not a lock. It's just home advantage.
Yep, the only thing that's not a lock is your wild cards. So Calgary could jump up into the wild card spot and knock either one of them out, but they could also flip-flop who they're playing. St. Louis and Minnesota are a 1 point away from each other. So basically, and it doesn't really affect my opinion whether it's St. Louis playing Golden Knights or St. Louis playing Winnipeg or vice versa with Minnesota and or Calgary. So it doesn't really, I don't have Vegas losing in the first round, and I don't have Winnipeg losing in the first round. So it's almost a moot point at this point, like where I don't care if one of those jump the other. None of them's really changing my opinion on who's upsetting them. So we'll just go with our picks with the bracket set as is today.
The way I want to go at this is like I want to take Toronto over the Senators in six games, right? Like,
yep.
That's the way I want to go.
Six games?
Yeah. That's the way I wanted to go about this. I feel like the Senators will win two games on the Maple Leafs no matter what. Like, I feel like they're going to give them a series. And then, obviously, Tampa and Florida's going to go seven games no matter what. They match up against each other.
Yeah, I can see that going seven.
This is going seven games no matter which way this is going. And I think Tampa Bay comes out alive. Like, I think Florida did a lot with moving pieces around to get themselves – you know, playing as a team and playing better, but I think Tampa Bay just gets it done this season, and they put down the Cats, and we'll have a new Stanley Cup champion at the end of this. And then Capitals against whoever it may be, Montreal or Columbus, if somehow Columbus gets into that wild card, I think it's going to go probably
more likely
five games.
Montreal.
I would say five games just to give them one. I don't think it's going to be a sweep.
I agree.
It could be, but if it is Montreal, I really don't see it being a sweep. But if it's Columbus, I could easily see it becoming a sweep between the Capitals and Columbus. It's kind of why I'm just saying five games here.
Yeah.
So Caps in five there. And then Canes, Devils, I think that's going to become a seven-game series as well. And I think the Canes come out of this one surviving a seven-game series. So
Okay, so for the first round matchups on the East, you have Toronto. You said Tampa or Florida? Yeah,
Tampa. Toronto, Tampa, Caps, you said Canes.
Oh, there we are.
Yeah.
All right. We actually kind of match up pretty close in our first picks there then. I mean, the only thing I'm going a little bit different is how many games there are. So, like, the Toronto, Ottawa, I'm taking Toronto, but I think I'm going to take that one in five. I think Toronto's just that much better than Ottawa. No. And it's in Canada, so it's not like a crazy home field advantage for them. They're still in Canada, so
I mean, I'm going to go not that Toronto far from and each five other either. Like, it's literally
no, they're not at all
in the same region.
Ontario.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm going to take Toronto in five. I agree with you with Tampa and Florida. I will take Tampa in seven, just like you. I think it will be probably one of the closer series, like I said earlier. Could be one of the best games of the first rounds. Washington, Montreal, I also agree with you. I feel like if out of all these series, I feel like this is one that could be a sweep, and I'm going to just take I'm going to take the Canadiens winning one of them, so I'll take Washington Capitals to win in five. And then the Hurricanes and Devils, I have a little bit different than you. I'm going to take Hurricanes in six, not seven.
Okay.
So, I have the same matchups as you. I have Toronto. Toronto's going to be playing Tampa. Washington playing the Hurricanes.
All right.
Do you want to move to the West first round, or do you just want to keep the East going?
We'll keep the East going until we get to an Eastern champion, and then we'll go to the West.
Okay. So, you got Toronto and Tampa.
I'm taking Tampa. Taking Tampa in six. Tampa in six over Toronto. I think Toronto still has its playoff woes. You know, still right. Can't get over that hump of, like, getting themselves to the Stanley Cup. And Tampa just, you know, does their thing and beats Toronto in six games. And then between the Caps and the Canes, I think the Canes take it in seven.
All right, so we got
– I think the Caps give them a good fight, and the Canes get yet another seven-game series. Which that's what's going to bring me to my Eastern Championship of Tampa and Carolina. I think it goes to another seven-game series, and Carolina comes out as the Eastern champion.
Damn, going seven on that.
Yeah.
So let's see. I have the same matchups as you. So I have Tampa and Toronto. I am differing than you. I'm going to take Toronto in six against Tampa.
Okay.
Toronto advances to the semis. And then with the Canes and Capitals, I'm taking the Canes in six. I don't think they're going seven. I'm not sold on Washington, even though they're arguably the best team in the East right now. I'm not sold on them. They're a hell of a good power play team, and that's how they've been winning their games mainly. So I like Canes much better than the Capitals, so I'm going to take Canes in six and Toronto in six. So we got Canes against Toronto. This one's hard for me. I'm going to say seven games. I feel like Carolina just always disappoints us around this time. So let's go Toronto. We're going Toronto in seven games to make it to the finals.
Okay. I like that.
I want to choose the Canes. But
I know.
Canes just seem to myself. They seem to choke near the second round or third round every dang year. So it's like, well, and I feel like Toronto's right there on the verge, just like Carolina is every year. One of them's got a breakthrough, and I'm gonna go with the team that has the best player in the world. So I'm taking Austin Matthews in Toronto.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. Unfortunately,
yep, I got Toronto as my lock. Toronto is my lock on the East.
All right, I'm literally putting this in as we're talking about it too. So if you give me a second here. I'm putting mine in. I'm not doing yours.
Good.
That way I remember
what I
said.
Well, I can literally just draw mine in.
Because I'm putting it in our entertainment portion for the future, because I feel like if that sits there, we'll be fine. All right. So that's the whole East right there.
I just drew little squiggly lines on mine so I know which one makes it.
Alex East. Alex List. All right, here we go. Western Conference. Here we go. All right. So, like you said, it's going to be Winnipeg versus St. Louis, or possibly the Calgary Flames.
As of now, or possibly it's, Calgary.
I feel like Winnipeg's going to win that in five.
Or Minnesota, yeah. Yep. So, you got Winnipeg in five.
Yeah, Winnipeg in five. Give me Winnipeg in five on that one. Dallas, Colorado. Oh, geez. This is definitely going to seven games. I want to take Colorado. I'll go with Colorado.
Good choice. Good choice.
I think they'll pull it off against Dallas. As much as I don't want to choose them just because of the old 90s rivalry, I feel like I kind of have to.
They're a good team, man. They're a good team.
Vegas and Minnesota. Gonna take Vegas. Let's go on five. I don't think any sweeps are gonna really happen this postseason. It might there might be one, but that's not it.
I think if there's gonna be one, it's gonna be this last one here with Edmonton and LA.
Really?
Could be.
Because I'm taking
Edmonton's good, but
I'm taking Edmonton for sure.
I am too.
But I think Edmonton wins in six. I think the Kings.
Nah, I think
the Kings actually can win more than one game against Edmonton.
I think if there was gonna be a sweep, I think it was gonna be the Capitals and Canadiens possibly.
No, yeah, that one makes the most sense of being a sweep anywhere in this playoff bracket as of right now.
Yeah.
So that's my first round: Winnipeg in five, Colorado in seven, Vegas in five, and then Edmonton in six.
Yeah, I'm pretty much close with you on that one. I'm taking Winnipeg in five for my first. I'm taking Colorado in seven over Dallas, just like you. I'm taking Vegas in... We'll go five, yeah. That's fair. Vegas in five. Edmonton, see the exact same as you in the first round. This is where we might start differing now.
Yeah, this is probably where we start differing because I'm going to take Colorado over Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg suffers the President's Trophy.
Never mind.
Suffers the President's Trophy woes, and Colorado wins it in seven. I believe this series goes to seven as well. I feel like
Never mind. I thought that was going to differ from you there.
No. And then I'm going to take Edmonton over Vegas, and I'm going to take that in six.
Well, that's the same as literally the exact same. I have Colorado over Winnipeg in seven, Edmonton over Vegas in six.
And then in the final
series, West is the exact same right now.
Edmonton over Colorado in six.
There we go. Now we're changing it up. I have Colorado. I'm taking Colorado in six over Edmonton.
And now we have the good old-fashioned matchup of Edmonton and the Canes in the championship.
So you have Edmonton and the Canes, and I have Colorado and Toronto.
Okay.
Yep, I've got Colorado, Toronto, and for my finals, I'm taking Colorado to win it all this year. We'll just have fun. We'll just go seven games, Colorado wins. Is mine.
Yeah, I'm just going to say Canes over Edmonton in seven. I'm just going to play it safe.
Going with Canes. It's their year.
Going Canes.
Can they do it? All right.
Yeah.
There's our playoff matchups.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, we got our playoff matchups. Here we go.
NHL playoffs. See if that works out for me. Obviously, I'm going to change that probably around, but for our final episode next Saturday, pretty exciting stuff. Probably the last time we'll be doing all this stuff, and you know, it'll be bittersweet.
You're talking about like the next Saturday.
Yeah, next Saturday.
You're talking about the next Saturday.
The 26th.
Not this coming Saturday.
No.
Yeah, 26.
I'm talking about Saturday, the 26th will be our
wedding, Alex.
No. No, we've already talked about this. Don't worry. I know what Saturday I'm talking about.
Making sure. All right. I'm making sure.
All right. Now, for our favorite segment of this whole thing, everybody tunes in for this, the gambling men. Time to gamble. Yes. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Problems with gambling, please call the gambling helpline at 1-800-GAMBLER.
I have that number on speed dial ready to go.
I have on speed dial as well. Don't worry. We're making sure we're gambling appropriately.
Continually losing.
Well, I went 1-for-2, but you wouldn't believe this, Kyle. The one that I hit was the Lightning Rangers hockey, and then the two misses were baseball. So I was doing really well on baseball, and I just thought I threw a little bit of hockey in there just to keep my luck rolling. And the one that actually hits was the hockey. So guess what? It's going to be all hockey this time. I'm turning the page to see like which way, like be like, all right, well, baseball's done. Time to get into some hockey betting. And
I literally went 1-for-2 also, and I literally only hit my hockey one and the two baseball ones I missed. I had the exact same thing. It was like, what?
Yeah.
But I said, screw it. I'm going all baseball now to counteract these odds.
Yeah, there you go. So I've got Montreal's money line over Chicago tonight, sitting at -278, alongside with the Panthers' money line over the New York Rangers, sitting at -166. And then Utah's money line over Nashville, sitting at -135, a total of +279. $10 pays $37.
That's pretty good right there. That's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like doing is just betting hockey at this point whenever teams have like either clinched or like it's hard to determine who's going to win a game. Yeah. You almost like take these Montreal games, like to take them to win because they're going to be playing the good teams with their players not playing now at this point. So they're harder to bet on at this right now at this stage of the season. So I went baseball. I went all baseball. And so for my three-leg parlay, I've got the Pittsburgh Pirates -1.5 today because Paul Skeens is pitching, one of the best players in baseball, and he's a lights-out pitcher. So I'm going to take Pirates -1.5. I'm taking the Tigers, the T-Grays money line with Tarek Skubal pitching today. And then I'm going to take the Padres money line with Dylan Cease pitching today. Give me a +417, and boom goes the dynamite with that one.
Nice. I like that. Honorable mention.
Yep, a +417.
Oh.
I'm taking Royals money line over Yankees today.
For your honorable mention?
Yep, Royals money line over Yankees. I will reiterate, I went 1-2 this week, and I went 1-2 last week, but I have not counted that I've hit my honorable mentions both weeks. So technically, I'm like 2-2. These last 2 weeks every time. I've been counting them.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm taking the honorable mentions, and I'm not really betting on them, but I feel like they're honorably being mentioned here because I feel like they're...
Yeah. We should go into our record because I keep hitting my honorable mentions.
Because, honestly...
I keep hitting my honorable mention and not my other ones.
My honorable mention is going to Rory McIlroy to win the 2026 Masters, sitting at +425 right now.
Man, I don't like those odds, though. Those are pretty... I feel like it should be like +800 or something like that for a futures like that.
I feel good about that. Like giving him that kind of odds, though. Like giving him that. I know it's a long way, but giving him that.
I'm just saying
that kind of odds right now is pretty.
Yeah, that's okay odds, but that's like you put $10. It's like you put $10 to win $40 on a year long future. Like I kind of rather would have something like what's Bryson's probably like $1,200, $800. I would rather do something like that.
I can look again because
I was right there.
I was like, let me just take the winner and just see what he says. And yeah, like I just took like the previous winner.
Like whoever's at the same like kind of level as Rory, I'd rather just take someone else that's like near the same level as him.
Bryson is at +1,400.
See, I'd much rather take that bet over than Rory because I could easily see Bryson winning it next year.
Scottie Scheffler sitting at +360.
See, I wouldn't want to take that one either. Like I would rather take like guys that are right there. Like Aberg is 1,200. Yep. John Rahm is 1,400. Chambeau is 1,400. Schauffele's 1,100. Like all these guys, I would rather take than a +360, +425, because I could easily see them winning it. And see, I love Bryson.
It's a good thing I put that in my honorable mention. That way we could talk about it like this.
Yeah, I would definitely. I like DeChambeau's 1,400. That's a nice one.
All right, so we're
being
replacing
a +1,400.
Bye bye, Rory.
Yeah, I mean, do I think Rory could easily win it?
Long,
sure.
Long gone Scheffler, like your putts. Long gone like your putts, there, Rory.
Could Rory like win it next game. Year? Sure. Could Scheffler win it next year? Sure. But I could also see DeChambeau equally winning it just as much as Rory next year, and you're getting +1,000 more. So if I'm going to put money on it, I would rather get more money back if I hit one of these guys. And I could see Bryson winning it over Rory.
All right, so I refilled the ticker that should be going on our screens now, where my honorable mention now says Bryson DeChambeau to win the 2026 Masters.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Plus
or do you want to go – Or do you want to go with Brooks Koepka with +3,000?
Brooks Koepka, no. If anybody down there,
Will Zalatoris +5,500.
I would go with Will, because like that's the thing. I always feel good about Will going into it. Obviously, he had a very bad weekend.
What about Tom Kim? Tom Kim?
No, I would go
11,000.
At the end of the day, I would go with Sungjae
M. Sungjae
M
at 14,000.
Because I was regretting myself because I was between him and Tom. Like, because I was sitting there, I was like, oh, we're going to go international when we were doing our picks. I was like, do I go Tom Kim or do I go Sungjae M? Like, I was between the two of them, like, to pick international for that round. And I just went with Tom Kim.
Yeah, and he's like +14,000. Yeah. That's some good odds there.
But yeah. So I feel better.
But we digress. We digress here for we digress for an honorable mention topic.
I mean, it's a good topic to talk about. Like
it is.
Like that's how I feel like honorable mentions should go. This is like, all right.
Just hassle each other with it.
Yeah.
Yep, I like our conclusion. DeChambeau is probably your best bet for money with +1,400 over Rory at +400 or whatever, and Scotty at +360. That's a terrible odds for a year long future that you have to wait to cash in on. I'd rather take a 1,400 bet where he's just as good as them in golf.
Yeah. All right. My same game parlay though, Kyle, is gonna be the Tigers Brewers game tonight. I'm taking Torkelson to get one or more hits, sitting at -200.
You're obsessed with Torkelson.
I'm sorry.
I think you just like his name.
he's the torque,
I'm convinced
man.
You just like the name.
He torques on the ball.
You like the
he torques on the
you're
ball.
Obsessed with like their. You're obsessed with like their fifth best player on their team.
It doesn't matter. You could be the fifth best player. You could be the ninth best player. You could be coming off the bench. I'm going to be obsessed with you on the Tigers.
He's only going to be – if your name is Torkelson, he's just going to be obsessed with you.
I got Skubal to get seven or more strikeouts, sitting at -175. And then the Tigers' money line over the Brewers sitting at -170. Total of +242. $10 pays out $34.
Dang. See, man, you're taking these – see, you're starting to get smarter here. You're going with these little smaller odds ones.
I'm just trying to get my money back. That's all I'm doing. Making it back little by
little.
I also took
the Tigres versus the Brewers tonight. I'm taking the Tigers -1.5, though, not just the money line. I'm taking the run line of -1.5. I'm taking the under of 7 runs for the game. And then I'm going to take Tarik Skubal to get 6-plus strikeouts to give me a +495.
Okay. Nice.
I think with this kind of game, with Skubal pitching, I don't think there's going to be too many runs scored, so I'm going to take the under. I feel like that's a safer bet to take. And with also like Skubal pitching, I think the Tigers will win by more than one run. So, and I feel like Skubal's kind of always been a lock for at least 5-6 strikeouts. So I kind of lowered. I think the strikeout line was at like 7 or 8, so I just minused it down a little bit, got it to about 6, and it got me to a +495 for that one.
Nice. All right, top 3 player props of the week. I'm taking McDavid anytime goal scorer, Verhage anytime goal scorer, And then a Wilmer Flores for the San Francisco Giants, anytime home run. He's the home run king right now. Nice. So
my top like player props. I got two baseball, one hockey. I got Cole Caulfield for Montreal to score a goal, anytime goal. I got Tarik Skubal throwing it right back in there to get 7 strikeouts, and then I got Dustin May for LA to get 6+ strikeouts.
Nice.
Since someone else on this podcast doesn't show pitchers love, I gotta just keep giving pitchers love in here.
I don't know pitchers like that. I just know the batters. I never was a pitcher, Kyle. I never was Torkelson. A pitcher, so I don't know. Torkelson. I only know Skubal and Torkelson. That's all I know. And Aaron Judge.
The torque is on every team.
Torpedo bets everywhere.
Give me Derek Jeter to get 3 hits. Barry Bonds, anytime home run.
Give me Mark McGwire to hit a home run tonight.
Mark McGwire. Yep, 3 home runs tonight. But my don't bet on it is kind of centered towards this weekend and kind of like the playoffs in general, just going back to hockey. Don't bet on upset road wins in the NHL playoffs unless it's like the top seed team.
Okay.
Home advantage is huge in NHL playoffs. It's like a different atmosphere if you don't watch playoff hockey. When they're at home, it's loud as shit and it goes crazy in there. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
Home advantage is huge in hockey. So don't bet on a lot of road upsets in playoffs. If you want to be safe with your bets, just pick the home team as long as it's the good home. Like Winnipeg's not going to get upset at home usually. Like Carolina's not going to get upset at home usually. So,
no.
Like try to avoid the road upsets when you bet.
I hear that. All right. My do not bet on it is don't bet on the NBA until the playoffs. Like just wait for the playoffs. Like I feel like a lot of teams are resting their players.
It's almost the same as the NHL at this point too.
These odds are freaking obnoxiously like just throw up garbage. Like I don't want to touch them anymore. Like I did it once. I touched one NBA game, and it was just no, no, thank you.
He touched it in the wrong spot, and then
I tried. I really did. But anyways, yeah, bring it on home now. Let's just bring it on home from there.
Bring it.
I don't have anything for the NFL portion of this.
Nah, I mean, we're pretty much on a stalemate with NFL until you get to like the draft, really.
Yep. Which we'll be talking a lot about that on the Saturday that we get together. We'll be reacting to the first round and possibly a portion of the second round. You know, it'll be exciting.
We might be live during the second round.
So, well, we gotta play golf first.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. It might be a late night. It might be a late night podcast on Saturday night.
It might be a little bit of a later podcast on a Saturday after a golf round, after a good golf round. Yeah.
Exactly.
Anyways, Wolverines lacrosse, Kyle. They are ranked 14th right now.
They had a couple big upset wins.
6-5 overall, 2-1 in the Big Ten play. Like that's something to watch. Like they made it. Almost, I think they made it into the playoffs last season, into the NCAA.
I think they did too. Tournament. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they
They lost in the first round. So, but yeah, they're looking like they're having another good season. I think the Wolverines are going to be more of a lacrosse team than a baseball team for the spring in the coming future.
Yeah,
especially with that stat right there.
Michigan also got 2 big signees for their team for hockey.
Oh yeah.
For next year's hockey season, I got 2 big-time signees. One was the third-round pick by Calgary, and I can't remember who the other one was. I think it was a second- or first-round pick. So they got 2 studs, basically 5-star recruits coming in next year now for the Michigan hockey team.
Nice. I like that. I like hearing that.
And then just yesterday, going to – well, I guess it was a couple days ago. With Michigan basketball, we just got another transfer. We got the UCLA big man, 7'3", Ademara, the foreigner.
Very nice.
So now Michigan basketball, if you combine, they're the number one transfer portal team this year recruiting.
Ooh.
So if they take the composite of recruiting and transfer portal for the next year, they're in the top 10. They're 8th or something like that. The 8th overall team in recruiting, which I haven't seen Michigan up in recruiting like that in a long time. So there's good things to come with Michigan basketball next year. They're kind of like reloaded already at this point.
Awesome.
And then
nice.
Yep. And then a quick one on NC State. NC State just got Michigan State's kiss the floor guy. NC State just got the transfer of Trey Holloman from Michigan State. Yeah.
Nice.
That happened yesterday. Yep. Trey Holloman decided he committed to NC State with Will Wade. So you better not be kissing the big S on the floor at in Raleigh, or else he's going to throw a hissy fit now.
Just go kiss Fluffy or whatever his name is. Tuffy. Yeah. That's it. Tuffy.
Yeah, the NC State Wolfpack. Tuffy. Not Fluffy. Yeah. Go kiss Fluffy.
Go kiss Fluffy on the floor. Just go do that.
So, yeah. And NC State's gonna be looking good for basketball next year. He's a stud, as much as I didn't really like him that much when he was at Michigan State. He was still a good player, so. And they're getting a couple of the guys that he brought with Will Wade brought with him when he came over. So NC State could turn it around pretty quick into a good team next year.
Nice. Yeah. My NC State news is the Wolfpack baseball. They're starting to turn things around, winning their six of the last seven here, taking one loss to Clemson in this previous series, but they win the series. So that's definitely a good plus for them. And then
this is about the same time last year that NC State baseball kind of did the same thing last year, where they kind of like struggled to begin with a little bit. And then they got hot when they got into ACC play, and which is looking like what they're doing right now.
Yeah. And as long as they keep that kind of turnaround going, as long as they win these midweek games and then they win the series at least 2-1, they'll be fine. Like that's all they need to do. They can't be losing series unless they're on the road against a tough team, which is like kind of hard to do to win that series. Yep. But as long as they can, you know, get that win, midweek win, and win the series 2-1, no matter which way you draw it, they're going to look really good. And then the Deeks, they got swept by the Tar Heels this previous weekend. Not good. Not good for them.
Not a good one for them indeed. Now, I don't really have too much left. I mean, I got some. That's pretty much it with college. I got Tigers, Yankees. Yeah, Yankees are kind of skidding right now on me, but it's way too early in baseball. Baseball is such a freaking long season. Like it's kind of crazy. Like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna get worried on baseball until like freaking August, basically. Like if a team's struggling in August and they're trying to keep up, then I'll get back to you. But as of now, yes, Yankees are skidding a little bit, but they're still right there in first place. And the Tigers seem to have got it together, so they're staying hot right now. So it's good for them. Yes. Teams like the Tigers and those teams that don't have the big payroll, they need to get hot early. Unlike the team like the Dodgers, the Braves, they can afford to like go back a few games and then get hot later because they just got the money and the talent to do so. So it's good for the Tigers to get hot early and stay hot now.
Yeah, and that definitely helps with their playoff push later on. Is like, because like you said, in August you could be sitting there with 0.02% of not making the playoffs, and then all of a sudden you turn around and you make the playoffs.
You can just make a run. Yeah, you're just going to run.
You make an 11 game winning streak run into the playoffs.
Yep.
So that's why we're kind of taking our little hiatus after our last
we're not missing much
episode
with us
next week or so.
Our season one conclusion.
Yep.
With the Red Wings Canes. Red Wings done. That's pretty much it. Red Wings are done.
Red Wings postseason.
On to next year, hopefully.
Unfortunately.
There's a few things I'd like for them to do going into next year. Yeah. I would like for them to get rid of a few players. I think we literally just froze right at the end there.
Oh,
Here we go.
We're back. That was my side froze because it literally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my side.
No. Yeah. I was like, there's a few things I want Red Wings to do at least. I don't care who they call up. They're going to be calling up guys. They got to get rid of some of these contracts with some of these guys that they have on their team. They need to get rid of Sherratt. They need to get rid of Petrie. They got to get rid of Justin. Justin Hall's got to go tomorrow or yesterday. He has to go yesterday.
Tomorrow.
He's terrible. He is terrible. Justin Hall's got to go. Sherratt's got to go. Petrie's got to go. I would get rid of Tarasenko. I would get rid of There's one more on forward. I honestly would trade Berggren. Berggren is a disappointment to me. He's too small, too weak. Every time he gets into a board battle with any player, he gets bullied. So there's a lot. I would be cleaning up a lot of the older guys. Get rid of them and start bringing up these young guys that they have in their, at Grand Rapids. And they've got a bunch of superstar talent down there. Get rid of Kopp. Like, there's a lot of stuff they need. They need to get rid of the age. Their age is showing, and it's, like, slowing them down.
I gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I obviously agree with you with most of those, for sure. And yeah, let's see what the Yzerman plan will bring us this offseason. And I hope it brings us the best of the best. And then,
Canes are lined up against
the New Jersey Devils for the first round.
Rematch from last year.
That's the one thing that we kind of already covered of, like, that won't change, and we'll see how that divvies out for them. Speaking of playoffs, Pistons are lined up against...
Should be a good series.
Yeah, it should be. Pistons are lined up against the New York Knicks for their first round matchup. And then you have all these play-in games, apparently, that decide the rest of the tournament. So who cares? All I care about is that the Pistons are actually in. They don't have to play one of those stupid play-in games, and they're actually playing a 7-game series against the New York Knicks. So that's a good plus, especially after having the previous three seasons that they've had.
Yeah.
And then Wrexham takes an unnecessary draw. They stay in second place. They drop to be only 1 point ahead of the Wycombe Wanderers. I think you remember me mentioning them way back when. They're the team that's in third place with only 81 points to where Wrexham has 82. So you only get 1 point per draw, and then you get 3 for an outright win, right? So they need to win.
That's what it sounds like. They got to start winning here. Got to pull one out.
Four games left. So,
got to win.
All right, and that wraps up this episode of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Next week, we will look back on how we did with these top five picks. See how our playoff prediction bracket thingy went. Like, obviously, we're gonna change things around there with that. I've got my portion typed in here for next week, and then we'll look forward to the upcoming week. Obviously, we'll probably look a lot at some of these games for the playoffs. And then, yeah, what's coming up with fantasy, Kyle?
We're pretty much just on a hiatus right now with fantasy. It's just going to be more.
What? We're
I have some celebrate? I have some ideas for next season in fantasy that we'll discuss.
I want to go over our top. Because we're going to have a draft. We got to have our mock draft at the end of the day.
We can do a mock draft for the very first mock draft of the year.
Very first mock draft of the 2025 year.
Yes.
We can do a mock draft for our finale.
Yeah, we can do a mock draft for the finale, because then we'll actually have players that are in it with it. So we can do like a mock draft.
All right, cool. Because that's really what I wanted with the actual NFL draft. Is I wanted our first actual mock draft to happen for the year. I know it's very far out from the season, from, like, you know, and injuries then, and the,
yeah, because
you know, like the offseason moves and also, that happen and all this, that, and the other.
And also, beginning the season two, we're probably going to do another mock draft. So this is how things will roll. But we'll close it with a mock draft, and we'll begin it with a mock draft.
It'll be mock draft 1.0, and then once season two starts, it'll
changed?
Be mock draft 2.0, and then we'll have a 3.0, and then a 4.0, and then we'll finally have
until
the season actually starts. Yeah. So yeah, that's how we'll do this. I like it. All right, make sure you guys tune in to hear all that next week. I'm Alex Bauer.
I'm Kyle Davis.
You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Make sure you have a good rest of your day. Make sure you like and subscribe wherever you get us. Me.
B.
B.